ear, bass on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd
Up. All right, it's time for another Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson, and here with us, I'm going to introduce you to all the guests we have on today's show. First of all, we have Isaac Wilson. Isaac, say hey.
Hi.
And of course, we also have our resident TV, or Isaac is our video game expert. We got our resident TV expert, Eric Billingsley. Eric?
Heidi ho, boys and girls.
And, of course, we have our DC Comics expert, Brandon Bell, joining us again. Brandon, hello.
Hey, hey.
All right, so that's us. That's the Nerd Up Podcast team. We're ready to talk some nerdy stuff, and we're going to hit it right off the bat with some movies. We're going to talk about some movies, or at least a movie. Isaac and I just recently saw at the Eagle Theater in Robinson. We always got to promote those guys because they treat us well. It's a very nice theater. Eric, if you're ever up in the area, you need to stop into this Eagle Theater in Robinson. These guys, it's for a small town theater, they've got class. These guys are awesome in the way they do things. Very comfortable settings. I love the free refills of soda. Thursday night, bring your own container for popcorn. I mean, I'm telling you, they got it made. So, but anyway, Isaac and I went and saw the Lego Movie. I first thought, this is just going to be a kid's movie, but with the voice work they have, it's going to be fun. And, you know, they have Liam Neeson as Good Cop, Bad Cop. There is Morgan Freeman. He's Vitruvius, which is kind of a god-like character. Or actually, more like a Gandalf character, but not quite Gandalf.
That's kind of the opposite of ironic.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I don't know what that would be called. Coincidence?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's why they put him in the role as this god-like character, because he is
probably
God. And then you have, Will Ferrell, who is the bad guy, the villain. And it's got kind of it's kind of a spoiler here, but if you see the movie as an adult, you're going to love this. Kids will love it, too. It's made for kids, but adults will love being there, listening to all the extra banter going on between the characters in the story. Plus, you've got a whole bunch of inside jokes, especially if you're a Star Wars fan. There's some really cool Star Wars stuff in there. But anyway... Oh, and Will Arnett is the voice of Batman, and
Shaquille O'Neal is himself.
Yeah, Shaquille
for like 5 seconds in the movie.
And I believe Eric helped me out on this. What's the actor's name that plays Gandalf? And
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen. Yeah, I believe it's his voice. If not, it's somebody that can impersonate him pretty good. Gandalf and Dumbledore, the same character. It's a Lego thing. But anyway, so they're also in it. So knowing that great, huge talent is in this, I had to go see it. And I was so glad. It was so funny. Now, the storyline, again, a slight spoiler here. It has a little bit of the TV series Saint Elsewhere. Remember how it ended, where it was all this kid's dream, and it was in a snow globe? Well, that's how this goes. And that's that makes it kind of, sort of like that. But I'm trying not to give too much away, because the way it opens up to it's all Lego and animation at the beginning. At the end, there's a little bit of live action stuff going on, and that's where it really gets cool. And there's the storyline is a cool thing. Now, there was one point where they're hitting on, and I'm hating this, where everybody gets a trophy just for showing up. You know, everybody's special. They hit that almost too hard, and I'm like thinking, no. See, I always hate that. You don't get a trophy for showing up. You get a trophy for winning. So that's me, though. I'm old school that way, I guess. But so they almost hit that too hard, but then they kind of toned it down just a little bit to make you realize that you have to work to be special. Everybody's special. You have the potential, is the way it ended up being, is you have the potential to be special. You just got to find what that where your niche is. You can't be special in everything.
Winner, you're a loser.
Yeah, see? So, but anyway, some of the our favorite parts. I'm gonna have Isaac talk about some of his favorite parts real quick. Isaac, what some of your favorite parts?
You go first because I can't quite remember.
Of course.
Some of the movie, I'll have to remember back.
Well, I'll tell you my favorite part. Of course, Batman, played by Will Arnett.
Oh yeah.
And he's got these real campy moments. It's almost and Adam West Batman combined using Will Arnett's with the Christian Bale voice, but. The girlfriend in the movie also happens to be the girlfriend to the main character, or he wants her to be. And he wrote her, they get in the Batmobile and everything's dark.
Yeah.
And he goes, I got a song I wrote. I want you to hear it. And he starts playing it, and it's a real hardcore metal type song. He's got these big, huge speakers in the Batmobile. And he starts singing, and he goes, darkness, parents are dead, darkness. So it's like really silly. But it's like I cracked up so hard because just I guess the parents are dead thing got me. But one of the other aspects that that also were fun was funny was okay, now this is going to sound super surreal, more surreal than surreal itself. They get rescued by a robot pirate, and then when they need rescued again. The Millennium Falcon flies in with Han Solo.
Oh, yeah.
You got Lando Calrissian. You got Chewbacca and C-3PO. And so what it is, they need a drive to go. And so Batman goes on board the Millennium Falcon. And then actually he's just planning on leaving and partying with the guys on the Millennium Falcon. And, I mean, they actually have Billy Dee Williams doing the voice work and Harrison Ford. And it really makes for... just a great fun ride. Anyway, Batman shows back up with the hyperdrive, and everybody, oh, you came back. He goes, yeah, that Wookiee is a chick, or is not a chick. So I thought that was quite humorous. But anyway, the animation, awesome. The acting, the storyline, I mean, it's just really a fun show. I have a feeling that one's going to be a big big weekend. It's going to have a big box office weekend because it's so geared at the whole family. The parents will get the jokes, kids will get the jokes, and some of the parents will get more jokes than the kids, though, I think. So, Isaac, what do you think? What is your favorite parts?
One of my favorite parts probably had to be kind of a spoiler, but not really. You know, the cliche, the god dies or the trainer dies, but the mentor, Vitruvius. And then later when he comes back, it's kind of just like a Lego tied to a string, and he's like, I'm Vitruvius's ghost.
Yeah.
Woo.
And he has like a sheet over him. And,
yeah.
And hearing Morgan Freeman say that too is just the best part. He's like, I'm scary. Ooh.
So. Oh, yeah. And whenever the main guy, his idea, the bunk couch or whatever, the double-decker couch.
Yes.
And how everyone thinks that's a stupid idea, just Will Ferrell's character thinking it's a stupid idea is the best part because he says, so, wait, would the middle person on top just have to climb over the others to actually get down, or how would that work? And then would the bottom people just be watching through a set of legs? That's a stupid idea.
Yeah. Or another good scene is between Superman and Green Lantern. Green Lantern is like the guy that always wants to try to fit in. And he goes, hey, Superman, sit by me. And Superman, I got to go to Krypton. And the Green Lantern says, wasn't that blown up? So, I mean, there's all sorts of little inside comic book jokes and everything. So, but all in all, I would give that, if I had any thumbs up, that would get all of them. But I don't, no rating system for me, just high accolades.
To an alligator.
Yeah, there you go. So, high accolades to that movie. So, those of you wanting to go see a fun family movie, that's the one to see. And even when we were in the theater, we saw it on a preview night. And there were only two other people in the theater at the time with us, which is awesome because we could laugh loud.
It was also kind of ironic because you'd expect it to be a kid's movie, but the two people were like fully grown adults.
They were older than me, and they were laughing out loud too. So, yeah. Definitely gets my recommendation. The next movie we're going to go see this sometime this week is RoboCop.
Eric,
I'll start with you. What are your feelings on the new RoboCop movie?
Hopeful, but a little resistant. I don't like the idea of remaking films that were pretty much perfect the first time around. I mean, there's so many films that are just downright bad or just half-baked that, you know, that are should be remade that no one ever does. Mm-hmm. It's always the ones that were perfect the first time around that they feel that they have to remake. But anyway, that much said, the trailers do look very good. Mm-hmm. I like Joel Kinnaman, the guy that's playing the RoboCop character, although I would have never in a million years dreamed of casting him in that part.
Right.
But I think he could be very good. There's a lot of really good actors that they've cast in the film. So I will definitely be going, and I'm excited to see it. But something that I think is going to be missing right off the bat, and maybe this is for the best, is the sense of humor that the first one had. The whole tongue-in-cheek, making fun of television news and American society and consumerism. I didn't see any trace of that in the previews, and I have a strong feeling that's just going to be completely taken out. And that's part of what made the first movie so great. So I don't know. I'm anxious to see what they do with it, but I'm keeping my expectations in check.
Right. Now, you're right. I remember that. Wasn't that that was the one that spurred the "I'd buy that for a dollar" line?
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
I loved that. Those commercials they kept showing all. You know, so yeah, you're right. They haven't shown anything like that in the previews. So you wonder if they're just going to cut all that out and make it serious, kind of like Total Recall. Like when they remade that. Now I did like the remake. It was more serious. Like the book is actually more serious. But at the time, also the humorous parts they put in there. Now they left some of them in, like the three-breasted woman on Mars and that type of thing. But there were some humorous moments and it's just Arnold is kind of humorous by himself. So in that remake. I was like, I don't know, but I still liked both. So I think you have to look at it, and that's why I'm going to look at this RoboCop, as if they're two different movies. And I think that's the way to get around all that. So, but we'll be seeing that this week. Brandon, what about you on RoboCop?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Eric on that. I'm kind of doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hoping it'll be good, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of laid back on it.
Well,
I do want to see it.
Yeah, well, now, Brandon, you saw the original, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, see, Brandon, Eric, he's a little bit younger than us, so I always got to make sure he's into the good classics once in a while, so that's why I have to ask that. But, so I don't know. I'm just going to look at it as two different movies, and when I see it this week, you guys will hear our review on that, so...
Well, I just want to jump in and say that if there is anyone listening to this podcast who hasn't seen the original,
mm-hmm.
see it. And actually, they just re-released a new version, 4K remastered version of the original RoboCop on Blu-ray, $8 from Amazon.
Ooh.
It looks absolutely amazing, has all the extras on it, and most importantly, it is the unrated director's cut, which is the only one that anyone should ever see.
Isn't that true? Isn't that true with all the director's cuts are always the best ones? Well, I don't know. The Dune director's cut was kind of long and boring at times. So, all right, cool. Yeah, definitely go see the original. I mean, even if you see the new one, don't necessarily compare, really. Of course, I don't know yet until I see it. So, But just think of them as two different movies. So, any other movie news from anybody out there? We'll start with you, Eric. Any other movie news from you?
I'm kind of out of the loop because of the whole rehearsal thing. Yeah. I haven't even seen a movie. I don't even remember the last one that I saw at the theater. Actually, I do. It was now it popped just in my head. I saw the the new Scorsese movie, Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, wow.
And
you saw
that? That was amazing.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one yet, so... I don't know if I really want to see it, though. It's probably some stellar acting and nice and a really nice script, but
it's
going to go to
a great movie, but it's not one you want to bring the kids to.
Yeah, definitely so.
Put it that way. Or the parents.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. So, all right, what about you, Brandon?
Oh, I do have a little bit of news from Hollywood. It's about the next Man of Steel movie.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't hear about that news, Jesse Eisenberg to play Lex.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be interesting. With first he started Facebook, now he's going to be up against Superman. So,
yeah, and
seems like everyone from that movie is becoming some kind of superpowered beast. Like Andrew Garfield was in that movie, and now look at him, he's Spider-Man.
True,
the Social Network movie.
True. Now, one thing, Brandon, I don't know if you've heard, but I've heard rumors floating around that the next Man of Steel movie, which was originally going to be first, well, the first rumor went out was that it was going to be a Batman Superman, and mm-hmm. not necessarily just a Man of Steel movie. And now, you know, we got Ben Affleck as Batman. Well, now they've got Wonder Woman cast for this movie. Gal Gadot is the name of the actress. I believe I got that pronounced correct. Anyway, and she's going to be Wonder Woman. So a lot of people are thinking that this just might turn out to be the next Justice League movie.
It could be the start.
Kind of like the Avengers, how they're making them all into separate movies and then combining them.
I think they're actually, well, since DC Comics is behind the times on this, I think they're going to just rush and make this one a Justice League movie because they've got three of the Justice League members cast. So, and then they got Lex Luthor, so who knows?
They also had... They also had Alfred already cast too in this as Jeremy Irons.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Jeremy Irons is Alfred. Huh.
I'll look him up.
So, we can hear you typing there. Eric, have you heard anything about this? Is it an interest of yours of any kind?
Well, yeah. I've heard all these items over the past week that you guys are talking about. Now, I am probably in the minority that I was less than happy with the Man of Steel movie. It mm-hmm. wasn't, I'm not going to go as far as to say it was a bad movie. I just wasn't interested in it. I kept checking my watch. I didn't care about the characters. It felt to me like they were taking the story, all the major points of the story of Superman, making sure that they hit all of those notes. But in doing that, they failed to develop the characters to any point where it really even mattered. But that much said, I am looking forward to the new one because it is it does seem to be shaping up to be DC's version of the Avengers.
Right.
And the casting is interesting, although Jeremy Irons to me seems like a natural successor to Michael Caine. So that doesn't seem that out of left field. But
some
of the other casting... Go ahead.
I see Jeremy Irons more as a lead role, and I don't think Alfred as much of a lead role. But then again, it could work. I mean, look at Michael Caine. I guess he was more of a lead man, and he became Alfred, no problem. And heck, Morgan Freeman, I look at him as a lead character or a lead actor, but his role in the Batman, the Dark Knight movies just was not, you know, a lead character. He was there supporting, but. So yeah, I guess maybe I'll have to see it to accept it, I guess. So go ahead.
But well, I wanted to say that I'm not anti Jesse Eisenberg. I just think that he's, you know, overexposed right now.
Right. Yeah.
I wasn't exactly happy that because here's I mean I'm sure I'm not the only one that heard the rumors that oh my God, the guy from Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston,
uh-huh.
was actually campaigning for the role of Lex Luthor, and to me that would have been the best casting they could have possibly done. I could totally see him as Lex Luthor, and the fact that he's an older actor as opposed to the younger Superman would be a nice little counterpoint.
Well,
but
if you watch the TV series Smallville, the Lex Luthor is actually more Superman's age. And you go in with
yes,
that aspect.
Yes, and that seems to be what that occurred to me. It's like, okay, so they're going the Smallville route and making them more peers than anything else. But, you know, I mean, it's like, as you said, it's Smallville. It's been done. I'd kind of like to see a new take on all of this. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know, Bryan Cranston would have been a very different feel than a Jesse Eisenberg.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I haven't seen any of the Fast and Furious movies, so... You know, take that for what it's worth. But to me, I was really hoping, and I was really hoping that they would cast, what's her name from Network, from the, oh, God, Attack of the Show, Olivia Munn.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
And she too.
Yeah, Olivia.
Yeah, she too was actually campaigning for the role of Wonder Woman, and and she's a really good actress, and she's stunningly beautiful, and honestly, the pictures I've seen of this Gal Gadot or Gal Gadot, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
She seems a little too skinny to be a Wonder Woman.
To be an Amazon.
Anyway,
yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, unknowns have worked before in superhero movies and. Like the entire Superman run. I mean, they've been relatively unknowns, and each time that's their starting point. So yeah, and I'm hoping everybody gets over this whole Ben Affleck Batman thing. I mean, I think he'll be all right on that. I don't see any problem with him being Batman.
I think everybody has got over it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I hope so, because I'm not saying that he'll be, you know, it's like, oh my God, this is the role he was made for. But I will say, hey, he can do it. He can do it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm also that way with Jesse Eisenberg. Is that right? Yeah. So anyway, I think he could do it too. So I don't know. I'm also with you, Eric. It's like there probably could have been some better choices too. So, but yeah, that's gonna. I can't wait for that. They also moved that up another year to 2016, I think. So,
I think so.
So they were originally going to release it next year, but I think they moved it up another year because, and that's another reason why this rumor came out that it looks like it's going to be the new Justice League movie. So,
I'd like to see William Dafoe play someone
again
in a DC movie.
Yeah,
I know it was Green Goblin, but he works as any villain, really.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But I think also
Dafoe is even in his name.
Yeah, he's a foe. Well, another issue, though, is that I think they're going with the younger cast, mainly, because I think they're trying to reach the younger audience. I think Willem Dafoe would have been too old to cast in anything. Now, although they are doing, was it Michael Douglas is playing Hank Pym in the next Avengers movie? Was it Michael Douglas?
I don't know. I'll look him up.
He's going to play the older Ant-Man. And then
well, he looks old.
Well, he is. We just saw him. I just saw him in the movie last night, Las Vegas. So, but he's going to be the older Ant-Man. He's going to be the wife-beating Ant-Man that everybody hates. So, and then he turns over to his next one. So they're going to have two Ant-Men basically in the Marvel movie, but one of them's going to go away. So, but yeah, I heard that rumor. It's like, well, okay, there's your older man, but he's playing an older man. So. So, all right, well, let's move on to television, and this is where Eric's going to shine, but I got to start the conversation first, and I'm going to be spoiling it because I know two people that are not caught up yet on Marvel and or the two other show I want to talk about, Arrow, but spoilers be damned, guys, I'm going to tell you anyway.
Yeah.
This latest episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., oh my gosh, I loved it. First of all, they had Stan Lee. And it was the perfect Stan Lee cameo, like he does in all the movies, just a short little humorous bit. He had two lovely ladies on his arms as he's walking down the train, so it was kind of cool. But the best part about this latest episode was the very end, and this is a spoiler if you haven't seen it. I'm sorry, but this is so awesome, it's cool. They're actually starting to bring Marvel Universe heroes and villains into it with Deathlok. If you may remember from the very beginning of the series, the first guy that they hunted down, his name's Michael Turner. He was the guy that had the centipede.
Centipede.
Yeah, and he had that on his arm, made him stronger. Well, he was blown up in the mid-season finale, and we thought he was dead. Well, they brought him back. He's got an android leg, and on the side of the leg, they zoomed in at the end of the episode, and it says Project Deathlok engraved onto the leg. So he's Deathlok.
Under the orders of the clairvoyant.
Yeah, that's right. So he's now Deathlok, and we are starting to get some heroes / villains, anti-villain or anti-heroes and stuff like that into the Marvel Universe. So. From the Marvel Universe into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, sorry to spoil it for you guys, but that's the way it is. Also, in another upcoming episode, they're going to have Sif from the Thor movies. She's going to be making an appearance. And it'll be the actress that played her in the movie. I can't remember her name. Eric, that's where you come in. Do you remember?
No,
I was going to put you putting you on the spot there, but I can't remember the actress's name. Brandon, do you remember?
No, I do not.
So yeah, but beautiful woman. She's going to be playing Sif in the. She's going to make an appearance on one of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes. So they're actually starting to bring in, and that's one of the things I was worried about. No heroes? How are you going to tie that in with Marvel? But they're doing it. They're doing it, so we're good. I'm happy. So, like I said, you guys are not quite caught up. Any other comment you want to make on Marvel of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? No?
That's pretty awesome.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. All right, so now I'll move on to the other one, the DC Comics television show. Arrow. It's really cool. The last episode, I got to tell you, they're tying in more heroes. I thought, now one of the things I thought they weren't going to do, was like they weren't going to do a Smallville, is bring in superpowers. And, you know, it's basically just going to be, you know, no fancy costumes and stuff like that. But no, they're actually going to be a superhero movie or TV series. And first of all, you've got Black Canary. You've got... trying to think of some of the others, Vertigo, Count Vertigo, and a few others. Also, this one of the recent ones they've had, and it's the actor that played Spawn in the movie. He plays Bronze Tiger, and
Michael Jai White.
Yeah, and he plays Bronze Tiger. He's got these claws, kind of like Wolverine, but they're not. They don't come out of him. He actually wears them like brass knuckle claws. And anyway, at the end of it, he was in jail, and Nancy Waller, I believe is her name, she comes in and she goes, I need to recruit you. You can work off some of your sentence. And he goes, what? You're putting together a team? And she says, no, it's more of a squad. Now, anybody knowing anything about the DC Universe will probably know the Suicide Squad. Yep. They're a bunch of villains that are put together to work off their time. And it's a team, it's a squad, and they actually do good, but they're villains. So they've got their own run, and when they launched the New 52, that was one of the ones they launched was Suicide Squad, and it has become interesting now on Arrow. So we've got all the other heroes. Plus, again, Flash is supposed to be making another appearance because they've showed him getting his powers. So it's actually turning into comic book television now. So I'm happy. So any other words on Arrow? I know, Brandon, it's awesome, right?
You're right.
I know you love that one. Cause, so,
I just kind of wonder one thing about Arrow. They dropped so many – if you look in, like, I think it's season one and some of season two, you hear so many Batman enemy references.
Uh-huh.
And stuff. You got to wonder if they're going to throw Batman in there at one point or not.
Well, they've mentioned Bloodhaven. They mentioned Bloodhaven, so I'm thinking they might be bringing in Nightwing.
Yeah, so that too.
So that might be interesting, and I think that'd be a perfect one to bring in too. So, so yeah, they're moving into it, and that's what I like. At first, you're thinking, oh, well, I mean, I really hated Smallville. I'm sorry, I'm probably the only one. I hated Smallville.
I've never even watched it.
Well, I didn't like it because it's like. When does he get to use his X-ray vision? When does he get to fly? You know, stuff. And I hated that. So, but yeah, I think this one's they're going different. So both Marvel and DC, kudos on going with the superheroes. So all right, Eric, you're the expert. What do you got to talk about on television this week?
Well, as I mentioned already, I'm a little behind because of my rehearsal schedule, but. I finally gave in last night, and after having been nagged for a very long time by lots of my fellow nerds, I finally watched the first episode of Sherlock on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I was already a Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, you know, he's an extremely versatile and good actor. You know, I don't know how you guys felt about the last Star Trek movie, but I love the new reboot. I love the direction they've gone in.
Me too.
I don't understand people that are just, you know, so upset about making it more action-y, because it's like, All right, let's just for a second, let me go on a little tangent here. The Star Trek II, even by every Star Trek fan's approximation, is the best Star Trek movie ever made. It is also the most action-oriented Star Trek movie ever made.
True.
So it's only natural that if they're going to reboot the series, they want to revitalize it. They want to put put the lifeblood back in it, get new fans interested. Why wouldn't they go with a more action approach to it? And getting J.J. Abrams, who is the king of the nerds, pretty much, to head that up just seems like a logical step. Okay, yes, there were a lot of lens flares in the first one.
Oh, yeah, the
it
old
lens
flares.
Didn't bother me that much, but everyone talks about the lens flares. It's like, okay, fine. I didn't notice there being that many, if any, in the second one, so hopefully those people will calm down about the lens flares. But I knew from watching some of the first trailers that it had to be Khan, even though,
right.
Abrams was trying to, put the damper on things and say, oh, no, it's not Khan. I was like, well, if it's not Khan, who the hell is it? It's definitely Khan.
Right.
And even now he looks back and he's like, we probably should have been a little more forthcoming with that. But, hindsight's 2020. But anyway, that much said, Cumberbatch was perfect casting for Khan. He's nothing like Ricardo Montalban, but he didn't need to be. Mm-hmm. I could make that connection on my own and say, okay, well, he could possibly be add a Spanish accent, and he could be,
yeah,
and have him say, do commercials for Corinthian leather. He could be the Ricardo Montalban.
That's true.
But he's a very talented actor, and I just within 30 minutes of watching Sherlock. I was kicking myself, saying, why did I wait this long to watch this show? It's absolutely brilliant writing. Mm-hmm. A mystery, anytime you put a mystery in front of me, I'm going to be scrutinize it a lot.
Right.
Because I'm going to say, okay, how is the hero figuring this out? Is it logical? Are they pulling things out of their butt? There were a couple of moments where I was like, okay, the writers are pulling things out of the butt here. But for the most part, it was pretty sound. It was a good mystery story, and I could follow, what Sherlock was, going from point A to point B or whatever. But the most enjoyable thing about it is the characters and the interaction between Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch,
mm-hmm.
As, Watson and Sherlock respectively. I mean, they're just perfect casting. These are two of the best British actors out there. And also, adding Mark Gatiss in there as Sherlock's brother,
right?
It's just I'm very happy about that too, because I love Mark Gatiss. I'm a big fan of
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
League of Gentlemen.
Yeah, no, League of Gentlemen.
Not Extraordinary.
Yeah, no, that's what.
Yeah, League of Gentlemen. And if anyone is unfamiliar with that, definitely go back and watch them. It was I think lasted 3 seasons on the BBC.
Yep.
And it is so unlike any show you will ever see in your life. It is funny and bizarre and disturbing in ways that you could never possibly imagine. But anyway, Mark Gatiss was one of those the people that created and starred in that show, and he's a welcome sight. He's also a self-proclaimed horror and science fiction aficionado and fan.
Oh.
And he did some Doctor Who takeoffs that are on YouTube that you should definitely check out, where he's playing not a specific doctor, but a, unknown incarnation of the doctor. And they're very, very funny and very on the nose if you're a fan of the show. But another, speaking of Doctor Who, if I'm not mistaken, it is the same creator who does.
Stephen Moffat. Sherlock. Yeah, Stephen Moffat.
Yes.
Yeah,
I see some of that similarity in the writing. There's a little of that cleverness going on there, and a little crossover. And
yep.
Anyway,
I got to interrupt you here, Eric. I got to tell you, that's the reason I started watching that Sherlock. I'm like, well, Stephen Moffat did it. It's got to be good, because I'm such a huge Doctor Who fan, and I've loved Stephen Moffat's stuff that he's been doing with this new launch of Doctor Who ever since the Ninth Doctor, or Tenth Doctor, I think. So. Anyway, I was such a fan. I was like, I got to watch this now. And then after I watched the first season, I said, okay, I'm going to go read some Sherlock Holmes. Cause it'd been years since I read Sherlock Holmes. And I went back and got a whole bunch of old books, the stories of Sherlock Holmes. I'm like, okay, this is cool. So, but yeah, it was because of him I started watching the series, and then I got reinterested in Sherlock Holmes, and then going from there. All right, sorry, I had to throw that in.
No. I was pretty much at the end of my rant anyway. I just I'm curious though, since you're reading some Sherlock Holmes. I read it as a kid many years ago, and I have almost no memory of it. But when I heard it was a modern day retelling, I was like, I wasn't able to picture that in my mind. Now, once I've seen the first episode, it gels perfectly.
Right.
And I love the way that they even incorporate a lot of modern technology, like cell phone technology plays a big part in the plot of the first episode. But I'm just curious, as someone who's reading the old classics, how does it compare? Does it feel completely different?
No.
Or do you think that he captured that spirit?
Oh, they captured the spirit wholeheartedly. In fact, the first episode, A Study in Pink, is an exact copy of the original story, or the first story of Sherlock Holmes, a study in Scarlet. And it's modernized. And when I was watching that, or actually when I was listening, I listened to the audiobook right after watching that episode, and I was like, holy cow, they did, I mean, it's just, you know, 100 years later is really all it is. I mean, it's like, okay, that makes sense. And they changed the Study in Scarlet to A Study in Pink. So, but yeah, they've done a great job with that. And I keep waiting for more Moriarty to show up, but they've been kind of lenient on him with the series. So, but
they're probably going to save him for you know, try and stretch that out as much as possible. Let me ask you this though, in the books, is Sherlock as much of a misanthrope and a pariah as he is in the series? Because I mean, no one likes Sherlock in this series except for Watson. They don't just hint at it. They come out and say it at one point that, you know, Sherlock is on the verge of being a psychopath himself, and he himself actually admits at one point to being a high functioning sociopath.
Yep. Now in the books, not as much, but you can tell there's those elements in there. You can tell that the police constable or Scotland Yard, they're a little annoyed that he solves the cases that they can't. You can tell it's in there, but it's not as slappy in the face with it as they are with the series. And I think that's what makes the series a little bit better, though, honestly.
I really like that edge. Of course, I've mentioned to you before about one of my absolute favorite shows right now is Hannibal, which comes on at the end of February again, season 2. Everyone watch. That's part of what that story that I really love. I mean, it's very, very different treatments of it. But, you know, in Hannibal, you've got this this special agent who's a profiler who really is walking that edge, and you feel like is just one push away from being a psychopath himself, much more serious and deep and dark and disturbing than Sherlock is, which is very much lighthearted, at least at this point with the first episode. But that same thread is there, and it really makes it interesting to watch. It's like, okay, what is going to happen with this character?
Yeah. I got to ask you, it's kind of slightly off topic, but not quite. British television in general. They came out with Sherlock, the series. They did two seasons, and then all of a sudden, American television, we have Elementary, which is Sherlock Holmes, and Watson is a female, and, you know. Now, also, a few years ago, BBC had a series called Life on Mars. After it was hugely successful for a few seasons, we had an American version with Harvey Keitel as the lead detective, and it had potential to be awesome. They were copying the BBC, you know, verbatim, and, you know, each episode was just like the first episode, and the second episode was like the second episode. They did it perfectly. Of course, they Americanized it, but it didn't last, and they canceled it, and they put some stupid ending to it. My question to you, Eric, and what's your opinion on this? Why is it that British television, and I mean, also look at Doctor Who, why is it that British television is so much more superior to American television in the writing?
I can answer this.
Uh-oh.
Because British have better healthcare and nicer people.
Maybe. Eric?
And are less fat.
Eric, well, let's hear yours.
this has been going on for a while, but it seems to be happening more and more frequently as time goes on. And I mean, we've been importing TV series from other countries for a long time. Just off the top of my head, The Killing, which just wrapped up a third season last year and got canceled for the second time.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Is based on a Danish TV series.
I didn't know that.
There's a lot of that with foreign language TV shows that are very popular overseas. They won't import and do an American version. Now, I can understand doing that more with a foreign language series than I can with a British series because, you know, come on, the British are not that different from us.
Right.
You know, they have some different culture things going on and, you know, some different curse words and different euphemisms than we have. But it's, you know, it ports over. You don't need any introduction. You don't need any special knowledge of British life to be able to enjoy a British show.
Right.
So when they do these American remakes, I kind of scratch my head and it's like, okay, this is just another example of, you know, American Hollywood hard up for subjects to do for television or movies or whatever. So they have to, you know, copy something that's already successful across the pond.
Right.
That much said, most of the time that they, and also Being Human, I thought you were probably going to mention.
Oh,
Being
that
Human,
one too. That's another one, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched either one of those, but when I do, I'm going to watch the British first.
Yeah, the British
and
version.
Then I'll watch the American.
Yeah, the British version is awesome. They've got some great stories and everything. It works. The American version, it's too much like Twilight. That's my opinion. And I hate
God,
Twilight.
I do too. Horrible, horrible.
The only thing is, they do keep the vampire as a vampire, and he's not sparkly, whatever. But it's just too much like Twilight, if you ask me. So, and I enjoyed the first couple episodes, but then they went off on that Twilight tangent. So, but yeah, the British version, Being Human, awesome, especially the last season of Being Human. It was so unreal. It was so cool. That's one of the best seasons I ever saw. Of course, they ended everything, but you know. They brought it all to a great ending.
But there is something about British TV series that I can't put my finger on. I mean, Doctor Who is a number one example. There was, I don't know if you ever saw or heard about that, there was a Fox TV movie back in the 90s that they tried to reboot Doctor Who and get it going again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Doctor Who wasn't American. It was Christopher Eccleston. What was his name?
Isaac. Who was the Eighth Doctor?
Huh?
You should know this. Yeah, it was just for that one movie too.
I never watched the movie, but Paul McGann.
There we go.
That's it. Paul McGann. Yeah.
Because McGann hurt Eccleston.
That's a mnemonic, but yeah. They tried.
But it was an interesting but failed experiment.
Mm-hmm.
It was an American production, and you could tell it was an American production.
Yep.
And they cast Eric Roberts as the master.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
I know. Every time I think about that, I was like, what?
Yeah, I remember that now. Oh my God, that was horrid too.
But there was everything that made Doctor Who special was just gone. And I don't know what it was, but there's a British sensibility that they bring to these shows that Americans cannot reproduce and should not attempt to reproduce.
Well, you think,
and I haven't seen the Elementary show, but I can guarantee I don't even have to see it to know there's no way it could be even half as good as Sherlock.
No,
I
will grant this, but it is pretty good. It is pretty good, but it's not half as good as a Sherlock.
No.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it may be romance? Because that's the one thing, bringing up the Doctor Who movie, they tried to give him a romantic interest in that movie, and the Doctor's never really had a romantic interest. And
that's true, but in the new reboot, they did give him that thing, this thing between him and Rose, and honestly, that was one of the things I hated most about the early seasons of the reboot. It's like, what, you know, the Doctor is not going, does not get romantically entangled with his companions.
Yeah. And
now,
they,
if you want to give the Doctor like River Song, I have no problem with that River Song.
Yeah.
But not with his companions.
Right.
There's something.
Well, I think that's why they had to
be incestuous about that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why they had to push her off into an alternate universe, because they had to just kind of get rid of that storyline. I think they realized it didn't work. So they pushed her off into another alternate reality. So I think they realized it too. So, I think that might be the case, because even even with Elementary, I think there's a little bit of romantic involvement going on, and that's like, no, it just doesn't belong. And I think what it is American television tries to force a romantic involvement.
Yes.
In every episode, in every show, every single show, mm-hmm. you will right. see some sort of romantic. And but the British, they don't base it on romance. They base it on mystery, you know, the events happening or whatever. But so I think that might be the case. Maybe.
I have to say that I really did love the recurring joke of everyone assuming that Watson and Sherlock were a couple.
yeah. It's like, what? And then, but I will tell you, there's another thing about Sherlock, Dr. Watson. He, in the books, he's a war veteran. But, you know, of course, it's not the Afghanistan War. Actually, it is the Afghanistan War that he's a veteran of in the original books. It was a different Afghanistan War, though.
Wow.
So that's one thing that made it, it's like, wait, he did come back from Afghanistan. So I thought that was kind of cool. So
that is very cool.
But yeah, go read. I mean, they're all short stories. The old Sherlock Holmes, spend about 15, 20 minutes, read a short story. Of course, there's some that are, you know, little novellas that will take you a couple hours maybe. But there's a bunch of short stories written by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle that are good. So, all right, well, let's move on to... wait, did you have anything else about television? Like you said, you haven't caught up because of your rehearsals, but
yeah,
no, is that it?
Just one little quick thing that all the Game of Thrones fans out there, which is should be everyone, tonight, I don't know, you may not be listening to this podcast on Sunday night, but we're recording it on Sunday night, mm-hmm. and tonight at 7:45 Central Time, just before True Detective, which I've spoken about before and dearly love, but they're doing a 15-minute preview of season 4 of Game of Thrones. So, 15 minutes, a preview of season 4, I'm there. But I'm sure that anyone else who's a fan is going to want to, you know, set your DVR or tune over to HBO at 7:45 tonight to check that out.
I think me and Dad both know that this won't get out before, like, before tomorrow.
Yeah, I know how my editing will go because, first of all,
yeah.
Hold on, it's premiere of The Walking Dead. So
right, yeah.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second, guys. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I just let my recording catch up with this. But yeah, premiere of The Walking Dead. I'm gonna be busy watching that. So, and plus, I got to make hamburgers afterwards on demand. If anybody has on demand on their cable or DirecTV system, I'm sure they'll.
Yeah, I would think so.
So if not, they'll probably also put it on their website and stuff like that. So, but yeah, you look
salivating like Pavlov's dog.
Kind of thought so. Gathered from our previous conversations, you're a little bit of a fan. But anyway.
A little bit.
So, yeah, that's another thing. Walking Dead tonight, my February will be complete. You guys can have all your Valentines you want. I got Walking Dead. We're good to go. Let's see. Let's see here. Now, let's talk about some video games. Before I turn it over to our video game expert, Isaac, which he's got some weird ones, I'm sure. He always comes up with some strange games that I'd never heard of. Anyway, first, though, Brandon and I are probably going to talk more about this. Marvel's Avengers Alliance.
Okay, I got to think. So good. Start with that, because I got to think of what I'm going to talk about.
Well, you could talk about those recordings you've been making lately. But anyway, let's see. The Marvel Avengers Alliance, they started a new Spec Ops. The hero to recruit is Iceman. Have you seen this yet, Brandon?
Yes, I have.
And have you started? Yeah, that's right. I got some ISO from you, so I know you've had to have been playing a little bit.
Yeah.
Once again, they have the special ISO. This time around, it's a red ISO. I don't understand. It could have been blue for Iceman, but they, you know. Anyway, the ISO is the element that makes this whole storyline of this whole Avengers Alliance game playable. And again, you got to get the red ISO to play along for the Spec Ops. The hero, Iceman. Now, they're having a thing with Apocalypse, kind of a side mission, and in which you can get a special costume for Iceman. It's the Apocalypse costume. And they've also got the costumes out for Beast, help me with this, X-23, and was it Emma Frost?
No, Rogue.
Rogue, that's it, Rogue.
Continue talking, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick.
Oh, gee, thanks, Isaac, letting us know. Anyway, so they got those rolling with those costumes that you can purchase. And I already purchased the Beast and X-23 costume. They give extra powers like Warbringer to enhance your playing. First of all, I got to say, anybody playing the game, at least get up to level 20. okay? Because once you get up to level 20 of your agent, that's when the gameplay starts to really be fun. And I've also like to try to tell people, this is like Pokemon, but with Marvel characters. You know, yeah. You got to get them all. You got to get all the heroes, and you got to earn them. And I have got pretty much all of them except for some of the lockbox characters. I'm going to be trying to get those this weekend, I think. It's you got to play it for a while before you really understand how we got hooked on it. So anyway, this Spec Ops, you can. There's all sorts of. I don't yet have the weapons that you can get yet. I'm not sure what they are. I haven't looked too far into it. But this Spec Ops looks like it's going to be a lot of fun because. How far are you along in this, Brandon?
I've already got the first set of tasks done. I'm waiting for the thing that you have to research, which is the Sinister Crystal.
Yes.
To finish up researching. I'm already that far.
Well, I just now started the second research project, so I'm the next group of tasks ahead of you here. But on Mission 2 and Mission 3, you have to assign agents. This is a new thing they're doing with the Spec Ops. You have to assign agents. And there's different areas to go. One you chase Rogue, one you chase Beast, and basically you have to assign your agents and to each area. And so all the agents you have, you pick which ones go to which area. And when you go to play that area, you can only have the ones you picked. So you got to do some thinking on this. So it's kind of interesting. I like it. I really like it. And if you like, say you're on Mission 2. And you've already picked out your heroes, and you're finding out they're not working. You can't change them around unless you replay Mission 1. So,
oh snap!
So you got to make some good decisions. Now they do have default characters that are included. They'll automatically be placed there, the ones that are needed for the mission, and your choice. And I recommend highly. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Put one of each class into each separate section, and then you can go from there. I mean, that kind of sounds like it'd be obvious, but. Might not be. But anyway, looks like it's going to be a good Spec Ops. Iceman, I'm not so sure about the hero. I mean, sure, he's okay. But I just like playing the Spec Ops anyway. It just it's just a lot of fun because they seem to have a great storyline to them. And, but involving Apocalypse, that's what makes this one a more interesting story. Let's see here. Brandon, what do you got to say about this new Spec Ops and...
I love the alternate costumes they came out with, all representing horsemen, you know, famine, pestilence,
war,
death.
That's what I like. You got to battle all four horsemen of the apocalypse to unlock a certain area of this. So it's like, that might be interesting. How'd you do on the last PvP, Brandon?
Silver League, even though I did give it a try.
I ended up with like 300 battles around, right around in there, and still only silver.
PvP is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, I hate the PvP, but I play it anyway just to get whatever. But so the PvP, and as Agent Venom, give us a month, they'll make them recruitable, 435 command points. I'm happy with that. So they launched the new one, and it started Friday night, I believe, and I didn't get started until Saturday. So
I started it last night. Yeah, it would be Saturday as well.
Okay,
but I started it way late in the evening.
I started it like Saturday morning. First thing I did when I got up, I'm like, oh cool. So all right, Isaac, are you back yet?
Yeah, I've been back for a while.
Okay. Isaac, what do you got about video games? Talk about this time around.
Well, let's see. With the recordings I've recently been doing of this PlayStation 1 version of Spider-Man for the... Well, PlayStation 1, but on What If mode. It's actually a lot funnier than I remember it. Cause I've actually kind of caught myself laughing out loud sometimes during the recordings. But in all reality, new game-wise, to updates, I think SCP Containment Breach has had an update. I think we talked about this on a previous podcast, like a while back. Anyway, it's a horror game. All these different monsters, they've breached containment. Anyway.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, you mentioned this before. Yeah.
And there's... I don't quite remember most of them. the new ones except 035, which is basically a what's it called? Like, you know, the it would be a comedy mask. You know, like the
the comedy white, and tragedy.
Yeah, it's mostly comedy, but sometimes it changes to tragedy. And what it does is it if it gets on you, like it will spill corrosive acid out of the eyes and mouth and kill you. But that's besides the point, I think.
Yeah, now SCP containment breach. Basically, there's all these different creatures that escape, and your job is to whatever destroy them, whatever. How many creatures are there?
Your job. I have no clue. But your job isn't to destroy them. Your job is basically the storyline is that they're escaped, but while you were quote unquote volunteering, even though what really happened is you are a death. What's it called? Death row prisoner, and that's why you're sentenced there.
Oh, okay.
Just to do training on the SCPs to see, because you know, who would sacrifice the lives of scientists?
Yeah, he's a prisoner. So,
you just have to basically escape the containment facility. But what happens is all the SCPs kind of help, but at the same time, most of them are trying to kill you.
Yeah.
So
now this is an online-only game, right?
Yeah, it's free, downloadable indie game, pretty much.
So, kind of like how what was it? help me out here. We have to find the notes. Slender. Yeah. How Slender became such a hugely popular game, and now it was an independent, downloadable, free, and that's what this is. And I'll tell you, I've watched Isaac play this, and actually, it's a matter of, Dad, look at this. And I look, and it's like the coolest monster or creature. Now, some of them represent some things that are in other movies, don't they, Isaac?
I think. I can't be certain.
Okay.
But what's it called? The main one, 173, they're all designated by numbers, not really names. Mm-hmm. 173 is basically like a weeping angel. Is if you blink, it gets closer to you, and it kills you by fracturing your neck.
It doesn't send you back in time, but
yeah.
All right, cool. All right, well, any other video game news you got for us? We're gonna
I've recently been playing the game called Mugen, I think is how you pronounce it. Mugen.
Sounds good.
It's just all in caps, and I've shown you it. It's whenever you can like put in whatever characters you want into the game, as long as they've gotten them, like, up for download or someone made them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've got Lasher and Shadow the Hedgehog in the same game right now.
Nice. Okay. Mm. Oh, okay, yeah, it's like the fighting game, like,
Yeah, it's basically like an arcade Street Fighter, Marvel versus Street Fighter, yeah.
Okay, and you can have them battle. Okay.
Well, and then I've got one last one to talk about, and that would be Team Fortress 2, which has recently had an update where these, I think it's called a strong box, it's kind of like a care package kind of crate.
Okay.
It's all locked up, and they're all items that were submitted by the community, so basically all stuff that would be, that other people made and submitted through the workshop.
Oh.
But
so fan,
yeah, I haven't gotten the chance to open any of them because you and Mom are too cheap to pay me back. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, okay, yeah, moving on for sure.
Your turn.
All right, we're going to close it out this podcast with some talk about comic books. I will start it out, of course. Recently, and here's the deal. I tried to make an assignment before, but we've kind of got slack. So next podcast, guys, read one comic book. I don't care what. It could be one from the past, one a new release. This goes for you too, Eric. Even if one, maybe just recap one of your favorite comic books ever. But I want to talk everybody to talk about a kind of give a run by or a punch by punch replay of a comic book coming up in the next podcast. So there's your homework assignment. And hopefully, Eric, once you get once the play gets rolling, you'll have some free time. So,
yeah.
But anyway, this time around, I read they recently did a Phantom X run, Phantom X from Marvel.
They did a short run on the Marvel Max label. Now, the Marvel Max label is adult content. Now, it's not not like the X-rated comics, but it's just they dropped the F-bomb, in other words. And so it's got some harsh language in it. But Phantom Max, he had a four-issue run in which he was, you know, Phantom Max, if you're not familiar with him, he's not that, I guess he's a little more well-known to X-Men fans, but he is like the master thief. And he's got like this artificial intelligence named Eva that he's like totally in sync with at all times, and she can manifest just about anything he needs. Really, it's kind of weird. Anyway, he's a master thief, and he's tricked into stealing this item it's a laser beam, so to speak, that is made. There's an oncoming comet that's going to hit in like 50 years. And they got this laser beam that's going to blow this comet out whenever it gets too close so that it won't hit the Earth. Well, he has been tasked to steal this laser beam, and it turns out that he was tricked, and there's a bunch of bad guys that want him to steal this, and they want him to steal it, and they're going to use it to destroy the Earth, which kind of didn't make sense. Why would you want to destroy the Earth? It's the only place you got to live. But anyway, so it's just a cool action, and it turns come to find out that the people that trick him, they were tricked. The government sends them in to get this item, but the government doesn't realize these people are all influenced by aliens. So it's a really interesting twist and turn story. It's only a four-issue run, so if you can check that out. The last one, I think, came out in January, mid-January. But it's a four-issue run. Check it out, Phantom X, and it's spelled with an F, by the way. And it's really cool. I checked it out and loved it. So I'm actually thinking that Phantom X might be my new Marvel superhero that I like. Also, Scarlet Spider came to an end. Brandon?
Oh, no.
I know, right? However, he's going to be in the New Warriors. So Kane as Scarlet Spider will still be in the New Warriors. So they're keeping him on.
Ben Reilly's better.
Yeah. Well, Ben Reilly as Scarlet Spider was cool. In fact, Ben Reilly's Scarlet Spider made an appearance in the Scarlet Spider, but it all turned out to be in his head, though.
Oh.
Yeah, but it was kind of cool to see that the contrast there. But anyway, so they brought that to an end. They're bringing Agent Venom to an end. He's going to be in Thunderbolts. And they're also supposed to be bringing an end to Superior Spider-Man and bringing Peter Parker back. Hopefully that'll be soon. I think, was it June when that's supposed to happen?
Maybe April or June.
Okay, yeah, I think you might be right. I think it might be closer. But anyway, Peter Parker will be back as Spider-Man. I'm tired of Dr. Spider-Puss. He's really annoying the crap out of me. I mean, I don't know why they did it. Eric, in case you're not familiar, they took Dr. Octopus tricked Peter Parker and transferred his brain into Peter Parker's body and Peter Parker's brain into Dr. Octopus's dying body. And Dr. Octopus body died. Well, Dr. Octopus is now in Peter Parker's brain, and he's now the Superior Spider-Man, and he's a cocky bastard.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, man. So they ruined Spider-Man, in my opinion. A lot of fans probably think the same way, but I know there are a lot of people that like this new... I mean, he's not afraid to kill people, and that's just not Spider-Man. So hopefully they're going to end that completely and get Peter Parker over 100%.
I think I saw a comic strip of the Superior Spider-Man, or just like one little sequence of it where... like he kicked Black Cat off the building or whatever.
Yeah. He didn't know who she was because he didn't have her Parker's memories anymore. He got rid of those, and she's like, "Oh, but love her," and then poof, right off the side of the building. So, it's a very weird run. I mean, it apparently is popular enough that in the Lego Marvel video game, that. One of the heroes you can have is Superior Spider-Man, which is the Dr. Octopus. So apparently it's popular enough to put in a video game, but I'm not liking it. So that'll be back. Brandon, you got any comic news for us?
A few things here. Man of Steel. The Man of Steel is getting a new creator. is getting a new team behind it. Superman's comic is going to have Jeff Johns, who uh-huh. was my favorite, who got me back into Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. He is going to be back on there with John Romita Jr. As the artist to do the new Superman, to continue on the Superman comic.
Nice. That's a good team right there. That ought to be good. I might get me back to the new 52. Yeah. I guess we're still calling that, even though it's been a couple of years and not so new. They've kind of been slacking lately.
Yeah.
For about 6 months now, they've been slacking in their storylines. There's very few. I mean, I'm still keeping up with... actually, I can't think of any I'm keeping up with. So, no, I guess not. So,
And then Justice League will be ending... Justice League of America will be ending in April for a new Justice League comic called Justice League United.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if they're combining all three Justice League titles into one.
Yeah, there's Justice League America, Justice League International, and Justice League Dark. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have a feeling they're just going to combine them finally after this whole... They had the whole Trinity War, and... The Forever Evil will be coming to an end here soon as well.
Okay.
So, I don't know how that's going to play out. I haven't really read too much into it. I just seen the headline about that earlier. So, as for comic books for me, I started picking back up The Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
With Miles Morales recently.
Well, they're bringing it into that one, too.
Yeah, it's already ended.
Well, they got the Cataclysm going on right now.
Yeah. So I'm going to catch up on that and start hitting over into Superior Spider-Man.
and then hopefully they'll end that by the time you're done with it. So, all right. Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, guys. We're out of time. And
how would I have not gotten to discuss what? Maximum? Not Maximum.
Oh, yeah.
USA 1.
Yeah, Isaac did his homework on the comic book. Yeah, go ahead. You did.
I've only done the first one
right
so far, but
Carnage USA.
Oh, where do I begin?
At the beginning, right where the page one thing.
I didn't pay too much attention to the plot, but I basically, from what I understand, doesn't Cletus have like a family now, or is that someone else that he's?
No, he's making it family.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
He takes over a small town in Colorado, and he wants a family. That's you hit that.
What I understood was basically Captain America, Hawkeye, Wolverine, and Spider-Man, I think, have to go mm-hmm. and quote, and I use this term very loosely, try to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I use that strongly because they try to stop him, but let's see. Well, basically, Carnage tells Spider-Man that he should have just kept it between them, and then the symbiote kind of looks like it takes over.
Yeah,
Hawkeye and then the guys at the U.S. or base or whatever it is. Say they need a say that they know just realize Spider-Man went offline, and they need a contingency plan. And in the last slide, he says, "Tell President not to worry, we have five." And then it's Venom, Toxin, Scorn, or is it Scorn?
I believe so.
Yeah, and then Hybrid and Anti-Venom.
So other symbiotes.
Yeah.
So they're ready to take over just in case Spidey can't do it. But, yeah, and well, you need to read the rest of them, too, because you're going to love the ending of that one. So, all right. Well, that does it for this week's podcast. We got to go. I got to go get ready for Walking Dead. Eric, you got to watch the Game of Thrones preview.
I have nothing to do.
And Isaac, you just got to watch Walking Dead with me. Brandon, you got something you got to do tonight?
I'm going to hop on Netflix. I've been checking out Orange is the New Black.
Okay. A
Netflix original. Yeah. So it's actually pretty good. I mean, something you don't want the kids to be watching, but...
Well, I'll tell you, that's one of the things I miss with not having Netflix. is the now they're getting original programming, and I'm like, there's something else I'm missing out on. So,
yeah.
All right.
I even thought of getting into Spacey's show.
Game of Cards or House of Cards. Yep.
House of Cards, yeah.
All right, guys, thanks again for joining me this week. We're going to do it again next week. Hopefully, we'll do it a little bit earlier so we can enjoy the rest of the weekend. But in the meantime, I'm Guilty Wilson with the Nerd Up Podcast. Once again, thank you, Eric Billingsley, Brandon Bell, Isaac Wilson, for joining me. And that's the Nerd Up Podcast. You folks, stay nerdy. Nerd Up.
www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.